Okay, so what is this passage about? Jesus says the truth will set you free. Free from what? Enslavement. Enslavement to what? Sin. And Jesus says everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not remain, but a son always remains. That's the whole key to this passage, is our enslavement to sin and God trying to set us free. You know, I think today most of the world doesn't think that they are sinners. I never killed anyone. I'm not that bad. You've heard me talk about this before. I want to add a few new things to this. You've heard me say Pius XII said the biggest sin of our time is the loss of the sense of sin. There's no longer any fear in this way because culture, our culture accepts it. And so all these hypotheses of what's wrong with the world, oh, it's the environment or it's racism and all these things, yes, they need to be addressed. What the reason the world is in the mess that it is because we're not taking responsibility for our sin. You almost never hear the word sin. You know, we talked about the famous televangelist that was on Larry King and said, I never mentioned the word sin because it makes people feel bad. I just was watching yesterday, we were there in our conference room working late last night, and something came on and it said, it was that commercial of Jesus washing the feet, and it showed people washing each other's feet, which is a nice gesture. It's a very symbolic and meaningful gesture. And at the end, it says, Jesus washed feet. He didn't hate. Absolutely true. Very, very true. But you're leaving out a huge part of this. Yes, Jesus did not hate. Of course not. He loved. And what is love? Love is not wanting to see a person go down the wrong path. What they forgot in that sentence was Jesus also warned us not to sin. Just the last gospel passages over this last week, the guy that Jesus healed, he said, go and sin no more, that something worse may not happen to you. Then just a couple days ago, we had the adulteress. Jesus said, I do not condemn you, but go and sin no more. We forget this part. So this commercial on the TV that says Jesus washed feet, he didn't hate. Yeah, dot, dot, dot. But he told us to go and sin no more. We have forgotten that part. And no amount of new laws for all the problems in the world today, no amount of new laws or legislation from the bench or referendums that want to change constitutions like they did in France, and thank goodness they didn't in Ireland, isn't going to fix this. The only way that we're going to fix this is recognizing we are broken, we are sinners, and we are in need of God's mercy. That is the answer. Only turning back to God will bring us peace. Turning with trust, acknowledging we are broken. We can't fix it on our own. We want, and that's why Jesus came. Mankind sinned, and so man had to fix it. But yet it was beyond the fixing of man, so God had to fix it. So hence Christ, the God-man, both God and man, powerful enough as God that he could fix it, but sorrowful enough as man because he's the one who broke it. And so we want to place the blame on people today because of their skin color or their occupation or how much money they have. They are the villains. That's the whole agenda of Marxism, division within society, cultural warfare, class warfare. This isn't the answer. The answer is we are all sinners, no matter your race, gender, or skin color, or your income. You are a sinner in need of God's mercy. And that is what we're missing. And so the problem in our world, our sinful lifestyles, immoral actions, are now being glorified. Now, you're probably going to write me a letter saying, yeah, Father Chris, you're up there preaching to us. Like one, I got several strong letters because I mentioned that calumny and detraction are sins. And I was called self-righteous, and I am never sitting here saying I am not broken. I'm the most broken. I think that's one of the reasons God uses me, because the most broken of the tool is the ones God uses that show that his mercy is greater. If he uses the greatest of individuals, it doesn't give him as much glory. He uses us, the most broken of individuals. And so the Bible warns us what happens when we turn away from God and turn to sin. We're left to ourselves. That's the definition of hell. Hell is not just about God's vengeance. Hell is simply you saying, leave me alone. I want to do it myself. The devil's favorite song you've heard me say, I did it my way. With Frank Sinatra, right? And so we can see in our world where there is no longer any objective moral truth. All right, this isn't going to work. We can't have cultural relativism. I have my truth, you have your truth, leave me alone. And I'm going to condemn you for your truth, by the way. No, we have to have a guiding law for society, a moral law. We no longer follow the natural law, the law of God, to guide us in our schools and in our courts. And this is why we are in a mess. The natural law is put on every heart, and it tells us things like abortion is wrong, marriage cannot be redefined. These things are being eliminated now. Not even the eliminated, the opposite is being glorified. And so, as I said, don't give me your truth, I have my truth. No society can stand this way. And God knew it. This is why he founded his church. His church is standing, or at least attempting to stand, for what is the truth. The church provides a moral compass, and it has for centuries, and now is being eliminated, right? So that anything goes. And the second the church wants to say that's wrong, it is condemned. The world to the church, I don't want you convicting me of sin, so I'm going to eliminate you. That is what the world says to the church. Don't tell me I'm wrong, or I'm going to eliminate you. I want to do what I want to do. And this is when we get enslaved. This is what the message of Jesus was today. The church does this not because it's judgmental, but because it wants you to get to heaven. It loves you. That commercial that says Jesus doesn't hate should have said Jesus loves you and therefore doesn't want to see you lost. And therefore, if he doesn't want to see you lost, he wants to tell you how to be saved. And how to be saved is to avoid sin and turn to him in trust, asking for forgiveness. And so to condone sin is a death sentence. And that's what our society does today. You know, so if we love the person, we want what's best for them. That's the definition of love, willing the good of the other. We don't want destruction for them. And so sin, what is it? Okay, sin is any word, deed, or desire that is contrary to the eternal law, turning from the Creator. Every morning in my morning offering, I pray, Lord, help me keep my eyes focused on you, the Creator, not on the creature or the created thing, or worst of all, myself. That's what we are talking about here. It's when we do this, it's the opposite of charity, because we put ourselves first. This removes God's grace from our soul. We fill it with ourselves. You know, I'm going to have Brother Elliot read Diary 1181, because in it, Jesus told St. Faustina, the only way I leave a soul is if it is in mortal sin. That's the only way. Every other way we keep Jesus in our soul, the only way we leave it, he leaves us, is mortal sin. well, Father, sin is sin. No, Paul tells us some sin is deadly, some sin is not. Do you all remember what a mortal sin is? Mortal sin is deadly because, you know, left to ourselves, we can't overcome these things, but God's grace can. But with a moral law, a moral compass, an objective moral truth, we can know right from wrong. And this is important. So we are seeing the effects that sin is not just personal, but it's communal. Even nature is affected by sin. You've heard me say this. Sin is a disruption to the harmony of God's universe. Even hurricanes, earthquakes, these are a result. It disrupts God's harmony, God's plan. The evils are the effect of sin because God is separated from the action. That's what sin is. When any action you do separates God from it, it is sin. Sin is a privation of the good because God is good. And so when we take God out of something, it's lacking the good. The result is evil. Evil is a lack of the good. And so God is not allowed now in our schools, in our courts, in our families. And so that is why there is so much evil. When you remove the good, it creates a vacuum, a lack of the good. You know, mortal sin, it severs our relationship with God. And then, you know, we turn back our back on him. It's not that God turns his back on us. We turn our back on him. So as I was saying, what is a mortal sin? Father, you keep talking about mortal sin. Isn't sin sin? No, some is deadly, some is not. So what is mortal sin? Mortal sin is the deadly sin. And remember, for a sin to be mortal, has to have three conditions. You all remember? One, it must be grave matter. Remember, any serious sin, we all know the obvious, abortion or murder or hatred or unforgiveness, but little things that we don't think are sins, like missing Mass on Sunday, that's grave matter. You know, sexual sins, grave matter, with ourselves or with another. These are grave matter. Gossip can be grave matter. Now, if it's grave matter, is it necessarily mortal? We don't know. We don't know that any sin is mortal. We can know what sins are grave. I just listed them. But is that sin mortal? Well, if it has knowledge and free will. So if you know that is a sin, you have full knowledge, and you fully consent to it. That's why there's a debate in the church like addiction. Sometimes it is said in the catechism that if you have an addiction, you may not be fully culpable, or even suicide in 2282 and 2283 of the catechism. It says those who take their own life may not be fully culpable because they're not in their right mind. They don't have free will. They don't fully choose it. They don't want it. And so if you have grave matter, full knowledge, and free will, and you choose deliberately, that is both knowing it and willing it, something gravely contrary to the divine law, this is to commit mortal sin. And if you die in that state, the church has always taught, you are lost. Your soul is lost. This destroys charity in us. And unrepented, it brings eternal death. Whereas venial sin allows us to continue in charity. It offends our Lord, but it's not deadly. Now, how do you fix this? Father, you're talking about all this bad news. We're on the road to death. Sin has enslaved us. Yes. So, Father, what's the good news here? What do we do? The answer? Confession. Confession. Confession restores that relationship. It's not just God forgiving you, but he reconciles you back to him as Father. Remember the end of this reading? Jesus talks about God as Father. And remember, the Father reconciles back the prodigal son. The Father welcomes back the son who left. You and I are the son who left. And now God reconciles us back. That's why the sacrament's called the sacrament of reconciliation, not just the sacrament of forgiveness. And so baptism too, when we were born, we had original sin. That's why we needed to get rid of it as infants in baptism. Later, when we sin after baptism, we're no longer in a state of grace. Confession restores it. Confession reconciles us back to our Father. God is Father. And so go to confession to cleanse the mortal sin. Come to Mass to cleanse the venial sin. Then you are able to receive because you are spotless. So to finish, there is a way out of this enslavement. As Father, God sent his Son as our Savior, and he's simply waiting for you to return. The prodigal son. Okay, Father, I want to return. I want to return. Get to the confessional. That is how you return. Any father melts when his child comes to him as sorry for what he did. That is true fatherhood. True fatherhood is the father waiting with open arms that melts when his child comes to him and says, Dad, I am sorry. Abba, I am sorry. I can't think of anything greater that God has given us. You know, and the Eucharist, that doesn't even happen without being cleansed in the confessional. And so the Eucharist is the greatest, a source and summit, but we have to get to confession to be cleansed to receive it. And so, you know, everybody who says, oh, I'm not a bad person, that's not enough. God chose confession as the mean for forgiveness. It's scriptural. I've talked about that in scripture. We'll mention that some other time. And as we said, the church wants us to live by an objective moral truth because she loves you. It's not just about Jesus not hating. It's about Jesus loving. And by loving, he wants you to be with him. In order to do that, we got to be cleansed of what keeps us from him. And that is enslavement to sin. How do we do that? The confessional, the grace of God. And so God wants us to live by this objective moral truth. It's throughout the Bible. And it is why the world wants to destroy the church, because it's telling the world you're wrong. Doesn't mean we're perfect. My goodness. You saw my list of sins when I go to the confessional? You'd realize I know how broken I am, but that's the first step to a confession. We know our brokenness. So please pray for the church. Please pray for God's mercy. It's the only way out. God's love is greater than any sin. Any sin. And so we are saved by grace, but we got to cooperate with that grace. We got to accept the grace God gives us to find him. You know, a lot of people will write to me and say, Jesus did it all on the cross. We don't need confession. We don't need the church. Jesus did it all on the cross. You know what it's like? And I finish with this. On the cross, Jesus wrote you a check. That check is for your salvation. But if somebody hands you a check for $1 billion and you never cash it, you never take it to the bank, does that check give you $1 billion? No, it doesn't. If you put it in your top drawer and never do anything with it, is it going to give you that $1 billion? No, it's just a piece of paper. Jesus redeemed you on the cross. He gave you a check. That's where our non-Catholic brethren stop. But what they don't understand is you got to cash that check. Where do you cash that check? By receiving God's grace. I want it. Lord, please give me that grace. You are my Lord and Savior. And how you receive that grace is be prepared and ready for it. And how do you do that? By not being in sin, mortal sin, being in a state of grace. And how do you do that? The confessional. Think of the confessional as the bank. You're going to cash the check that Jesus wrote you from the cross, but stored in your drawer, locked up, and never utilized, does you no good. That's why souls are lost. They never cash the check. How do you cash that check of God's grace? Go to the confessional, receive Holy Communion, go to the sacraments, come to church. That's his bank that he gave you for salvation. God bless you.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.com. micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.